Okay, so let's do from it's in the middle of Tes Vav, Tezayin. It's on page Mem Aleph. Let us start from Mem Aleph. We'll run through very quickly some of these interesting things. Page Mem Aleph on the bottom, Lamed Hey. Kimalbushcha Shel Chol. We learned last week that on Shabbos, a person is supposed to have special clothing in honor of Shabbos. Okay, come on. And then we learned in the Kitchen that even if a person is all alone, a person is stranded, there's a snowstorm, you stop off at a motel, you sit in your motel room the entire Shabbos, you are mechuyev to get dressed all alone. No one is with you, not even your wife. You're mechuyev to put on your big day Shabbos. The big day Shabbos is not a covered just for... when you go out among people, it's an honor of Shabbos, and a person should always wear the Shabbos on Shabbos. So here he says, "Kavushka Shalchol, Ayin Sivkod Nakoy Divine Divrei Torah." It's on page Mem Aleph, on the bottom in the She'odim Mitzvah Halacha, Halacha Lamid Hey. Now, if you have the Sefer is a new edition. You have the Sefer? Yeah, so the Sefer is a later edition. So sometimes it's not exactly the same. It's not exactly. He has a lot of additions. Kuntras Achron, and even the Shem's Malacha, he has. It was rewritten. Okay, let's take a look. It's not free. The reason why I give you this is because I'm cheap. Because this is free. This you can download online for free. The new edition they don't give away for free. Not yet. Maybe they do. I don't know. Chassidim wear on Shabbos long garments. We discussed this last week. It's not just minik chassidus, but bad rak mikor begemarim shochel noruch. Dim ein loy begodim l'shabbos miyuchodim v'noyim al kolponim yishal shtem l'mata. First, it's not a special begodim miyuchodim for Shabbos. Then you should take your regular garments that you wear during the weekday, and you should remove the hem, or somehow remove some stitching and cause the garments to expand. In other words, the garments you wear on Shabbos are a different type of garment than the garment you wear during the week. If during the week you wear short, on Shabbos you wear long. So therefore, now what does this mean, Mashma? That the wealthy wore long garments. Venerally, od rayel azel pid darshinon shelo yemalbushcha shel Shabbos kemalbushcha shel chol. The Rabbi Yehuda kari lemonei mechabdu. So Rabbi Yehuda called his clothing the thing which gives me honor. So the point over here is that it's a different type of garment. It's not just a better garment. I wear a suit during the week. On Shabbos, I wear a better quality suit, a more expensive suit. But a suit is a suit. That's not me'ikar hadin. Me'ikar hadin, it's a different type of garment. On Shabbos, you wear a suit. And during the week you wear a suit, and on Shabbos you wear a garment, you wear a frock, or whatever, something that's different. This is the custom of Hasidim. On Shabbos they wear a different type of garment. U'maharil biyal. Obviously we don't do this. That's not our custom. Unless you are you're a big Rosh Shiva, but the average person. The average person does not wear anything different on Shabbos than he would wear during the week. Alright, this is in their times. Powerful tyrants. Umalbush oruch lemolochim for kings. The anshe hamidas. Lufi devarim yevshu likrois lemane mechabdusoy elo alaruchim. According to this temptation, you can't call a garment something which gives me honor unless it's a garment which is an honorable garment. But if a person dresses like a mafia person, obviously that's not an honorable garment.
If he wears a short jacket,
they're the mafia. I'm going to need to recover from
this.
Commentary. Okay. Yilvash, big day Shabbos.
And they're in jail.
Ayin b'shulchan aruch v'chein gassav v'chaber l'kamon. The oval to chlamid also a little bush big the Shabbos. The oval is not like we discussed this. Okay, okay, we have the Shabbos. I'm going to Avram b'shem hakabonis matin to chlamid a little bush big the Shabbos. I'm going to Rabbi Yosef. Okay, we did this. We did this already. Did we do this entire thing already? We did the hatzmona shem b'tanu liyam Shabbos. I think we did this also. Okay, so let's go to halacha yutes. Let's jump ahead. Okay, let's go to the next halacha. New sugya. Let's go to you. Maybe we'll come back tomorrow to do this again, but let's right now go further. Hod mutu lahatmin gam kishe'ein hatanur tuchuch betit. Wait. We did this already. We're up to chof alf. Let's start from chof alf. That's where we're up to. Okay, we're up to chof alf. Chof alf. Hamatmin kofi be'erev Shabbos. Besoch hagumo letzoch Shabbos. We did this. We learned that when it comes to a blech, if you have an open fire, you're not allowed to put a pot of food that's not been cooked a third or a half on an open fire unless you do one of three things. The Gemara talks about garuf the cotton, to remove the coals or to scatter earth upon the coals. And that will prevent you from stirring the coals. We have a third example given in Shulchan Aruch, and that is you can put a pot on an open fire, but you have to seal the oven with cement, tit. And that will prevent you from opening the oven and stirring the coals. The problem is, how then will you open the oven on Shabbos? If the oven is sealed with cement, you're going to break cement, you're breaking a seal. Breaking a seal, you're making a utensil. So the answer is, this is not really called soiser, because it's only temporary, it's not solid, it was never meant to be a permanent seal. It's not a real melacha deraisa of soiser. However, lechatchila, you should not do it by yourself, you should have a non-Jew do it. Being that it's not a real malacha, it's not a deraisa, and it's not even really midrabban, it's just something which is, it doesn't look Shabbistic to do. So a goy is lechatchila allowed to open the tit, the seal that you put on the oven, to prevent you from stirring the coals. Well, you can tell him directly. You can tell the goy directly. L'chari, yeah, because a soda bottle maker then is mutter. Most poskim hold that you're allowed to open a soda bottle. So it's only a chumra ba'alma for a Jew not to open a soda bottle. So certainly you can tell a guy. L'chari is the same idea. So it's only a chumra. The Kiddush makes it very, very clear that it's an extreme chumra. L'chatchil, it's not Shabbistic. So tell a guy, l'chatchil, to open the oven on your behalf on Shabbos. Let's say there is no guy available. So you tell a child. And normally you don't not mechanech children to mechal Shabbos, but being that this is not really anything really wrong with this, so there's no harm done asking a child. If you can't find a child, then you can do it yourself, but just do it in an unusual way. B'Shabbos kishapayischem es atanu shu tatuach betit yesh l'pascho al yidei eino yehudi v'im eino yehudi. If you don't have a non-Jew, yesh l'pascho al yidei katan v'im ein katan muter gam l'gadol l'pascho v'yesh lasos al yidei. So this is the very, this you can extrapolate many different examples. It's a very big question of when you tell a child to do. Many people abuse this halacha when it comes to Erevin. They don't hold of the Erev. But they let their wives use the Erev, they let their children use the Erev, and if they need something in shul, they need something, so my wife will bring it for me, my child will bring it, they will be my Shabbos goy. Is that proper? So there are different customs.
I hold the Erev, but I'm not.
Okay, so where do you draw the line? So where do you draw the line? So this is a very big issue. Here you do find precedent. You can't ignore this halacha. This in Shulchan Aruch, you do find precedent that things that are really important, you are machmir, there's no harm in telling a guy, we're going to the next parak, the next siman is Amir la'akum. Amir la'akum is serious business. You're not, whatever you can't do, you're not allowed to tell a guy to do. So how are you allowed to tell a guy to do something? A guy, one of the three reasons why you can't tell a guy is shluchoy shel adam kimoso, even when it comes to a guy. So if you can't do it, I can't tell a guy to do it. It's like it's almost as if I'm in Michal Shabbos. So if I can't open up the oven, I can't remove the tit in order to open the oven, so how am I allowed to tell a guy to open the oven on my behalf? The answer is, you can open the oven. It's just Chazal told you to be machmir because it looks like a shtickle soiser. But if you can't find a guy, so have a child. Who says that's the proper thing to do? You see, it's not so terrible because you yourself can do it. Now we come to halacha chafaf. Halacha chafaf, he's just touching a little bit on hatzmona. I think, if not mistaken, he discussed hatzmona in much more detail later on in this, in the later simonim. But he just touched upon preparing coffee for Shabbos. Hamatmin coffee be'erv Shabbos b'soch haguma l'tzach Shabbos. In ancient times, they put an urn, a pot of hot water, in a pit where, in order to preserve its heat, umechasel bekodim, and you cover it bekodim with pillows, uchodoyim sheicham, imhu matminoi besoch chol, if you are sealing it, if you are preserving its heat with sand, osir. Why? Lahatim kol hakli besochol. This is called hatmana. Let's review the rules of hatmana. There's an iser midrabanan, you're not allowed to wrap up a pot of hot food in different types of insulating material to keep it hot on Shabbos. The reason why you're not allowed to do so is because you may be inclined to put it on the fire. If you find that if you're wrapping it with such intensity to make sure that heat does not escape from the pot, if you discover now that it's not as hot as you like, you may be inclined to light a fire and put it on the stove. So Chazal said you're not allowed to insulate pots. Now there are many rules when it's murdered. First rule is we're dealing with food that is in a kli rishon. Okay, that's a critical halacha. There are many leniencies in hatmana. The food must be in its original pot. If you take food and you pour the food from its original pot to a secondary pot, the food is now in a kli sheni. There's no iser hatmana. I think it's noticed that even in sand, even in things which are moist of heaven, but the food is in an original pot, and
so
for that
the
reason,
is a kli sheni.
Exactly, a thermos is no iser hatmana with a thermos. The thermos itself is a kli which is miyuchid for hatmana. There's a kli b'soich kli. But a thermos is a kli sheni. So lechatchila, you're allowed to pour water from a kettle into a thermos on Shabbos, because even though it's true a thermos is hatmana, but it's a kli sheni, so there's no issue. A kettle is a kli rishon.
You have a kettle.
And on Shabbos you want to pour it into a thermos. It's mutu lechatchila. Now we're talking about Erev Shabbos. So let's talk about the general rules. You have a pot, you have a kettle, and now it's Shabbos, and you discover on Shabbos that the fire went out. It's already Shabbos, and the fire has gone out. And you want to take this pot and insulate it. Are you allowed? Now there are two different types of insulation. You want to wrap it in a shmata. There is a type of insulation which is moisif hevel, and there's a type of insulation which just preserves the heat. Now an item which is moisif hevel, which causes some chemical reaction which causes it to intensify, would be something like sand. Now we don't have, no one's going to take a pot and put it in sand today, but the equivalent would be if you have a hot blanket. Sometimes there's someone in the house that has an electric blanket. So you have a pot, the pot has the flame has gone out. You want to wrap a pot in a hot blanket. That is dover, and halacha is called, the modern day poskim, dover hamoisif boy hevel. That is clearly also. You're not allowed to do that. Not only are you not allowed to do that on Shabbos, to tightly wrap a pot in an electric blanket, you're not allowed to do it Erev Shabbos. You're not allowed to take a pot off the fire. It's probably one of the only modern day examples of dover hamoisif hevel that I know of. A pot.
They have insulated.
If are they
moist of
hevel?
Sure. The aluminum reflects back in.
That's not moist. Aluminum foil. Aluminum foil is not moist of hevel. It has to, unless there's a fire underneath. Then okay, we'll get that. But let's just take the. If you have an electric blanket. An electric blanket is called dover, the modern day equivalent of sand. Dover hamoisif hevel. You're not allowed to insulate with a dover hamoisif even before Shabbos. It adds heat. If you take a pot, I don't know the science, the physics, so you take a pot and you put a pot in sand, a hot pot, the pot is hot, and you put it in sand and you bury it in sand, the pot will get hotter. Because when the heat interacts with the sand, it causes the heat to intensify.
Well, it's supposed to be the sand is in the sun, obviously.
No, not necessarily. Not.
What's happening is
of sand. Oh, yeah?
The sand is an insulator. So the heat
it's more than an insulator. It's more than an insulator. It's moist of
heaven. It's
heat. There's some science behind this.
It generates new heat.
Right. When heat makes contact with the sand, the heat gets even hotter. There's a reaction. There's some type of chemical reaction which causes the heat to intensify, and it makes the food even hotter. That's called dover hamoisif hevel. One is not allowed to insulate food in a dover hamoisif hevel, even erev Shabbos. There's no fire. I've taken the pot off the fire, and I'm wrapping it. I'm burying it in sand. It's cold, or wrapping an electric blanket. Erev Shabbos. It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and Shabbos is not until 7 o'clock. You're not allowed to eat the food. You've done an avera. You were insulated your pot in a dover hamoisif hevel. No fire. Electric blanket. And now it's Shabbos night, Shabbos morning, and you want to unwrap the pot and take out the food and eat it? You're not allowed to. It's Dover HaMoisef Hevel. Erev Shabbos, you are permitted to insulate tightly. B'dover She'enoi Moisef Hevel. You can take a blanket. No, but thermos is even better, because the thermos is a klisheni. Let's talk about the original pot. The pot is on the fire. You remove the pot from the fire, and you take a blanket. Like you buy a blanket in the sharper image that's the best insulation possible, but it's still dover she'enoi moisif hevel. It's cloth, it's cotton, it's whatever it is, and it just preserves the heat. Lechatchila, you're allowed to insulate a pot erev Shabbos bedover she'enoi moisif hevel, but on Shabbos itself, you're not allowed to insulate afilu bedover she'enoi moisif hevel. If Shabbos has begun, it's now 9 o'clock, and you discover that the light, the fire on the range has gone out, and you want to take your cholin pot, or you want to take your soup pot, and you want to wrap it up in a blanket.
That's only wrapping it completely.
Right, now I have tightly, completely, from all four sides. It has to be tight, it has to be complete. Now what is the common, this is not very much, what is no gear very much is an urn. It used to be, and it still is to some degree, that the urns don't get that hot. And people like the urn to be burning hot. So they actually would sell. They sell a type of cover which tightly wraps around the urn to keep it hot. That is called Dover HaMoisef Hevel. And he said, what in the world are you talking about? A little shmata that you buy comes with the urn. And they still sell it today, those shmatas? Yeah. That comes with the urn, and from some cloth, some felt, is Dover HaMoisef Hevel. Because there is a heating unit, the urn is plugged into the outlet, and the urn is producing heat. When you combine cloth with heat in halacha, it's considered to be dover hamoisif hevel.
I think that's only if it comes it all the way.
So let's just take the basics. If this thing would fits very tightly around the urn and you wrap it erev Shabbos, being that the urn is producing its own heat because it's plugged into the wall, and on top of that you have this cover, in halacha it's dover hamoisif hevel. The two together, and it would technically be awesome. What is the heter? The heter is it's not completely covered. It's partially exposed. There's a machlokes apoyskim. There's a machlokes apoyskim. How much must be exposed? Do you need the majority? Do you need a minority? Not even 10%, even 5%. And number two, more importantly than not being, it cannot be tight. If it's loose, a loosely fitting is mutter. So some people do, they take a plate, and you put the plate on, you take a plate, and you wrap the plate up with a towel, and you put the plate on top of the urn, so there is a gap between the towel and the urn of a few inches.
And it's very good if you put a kugel on the plate, because it keeps the kugel
back. Okay, as long as the kugel is solid, right. So this is, so there is, what? The urn is a kli risha because the water has been boiled in the urn for the very first time. So there's potential, and it's dover hamoisif hevel, even though the material you're using is wool or felt, whatever, but being that there is heat being produced live on Shabbos, then in halacha we consider even a cloth to be dover hamoisif hevel when insulates the urn. The solution is not to cover it completely, or it should be loose. Hatman is only also when it's a tightly fitting thing meant for preservation. Now let me just give you a few examples. What about putting in a cholent kishka? Very question which people ask. You take kishka and you wrap it in aluminum foil and you submerge it in the cholent. So why isn't that called hatmana bedover hamoisef hevel? The pot of cholent is on the fire, so there's fire, there is live fire. Aluminum foil is not moisef hevel, but when you combine a live fire with even cloth and certainly aluminum foil, it should be considered dover hamoisef hevel. So here's another very important leniency. It's hatmana is only also when it's clear you're doing it to keep it warm. But when it's derech bishul, when something is wrapped, derech bishul, that's not hatmana. If you have a pot, let's give you another example to illustrate this point of the kishka. If you have a pot, and the pot is open, there's no cover on the pot, and now Shabbos has begun, and you've taken the pot off the range. Okay, let's say the pot is off the range. The pot of boiling hot water or boiling hot soup is on the counter, and Shabbos has begun. Are you allowed to cover the pot? By covering the pot, it's a tightly, the cover fits very tightly upon the pot. Let's even have one of those pots, pressure cookers, and you can lock the cover on the pot. By doing so, you're going to preserve the heat. It's davar she'enoi moisif hevel, but davar she'enoi moisif hevel is also on Shabbos as well. It's mutar lechatzchila, because a pot is not a utensil of hatmana. A pot, by definition, is something which is used for cooking. It's a kli. Hatmana is something additional. You have a kli, and on top of the kli, you insulate it. You put it in a secondary form of insulation. But the pot is the primary receptacle for the soup. So covering a pot to keep the heat inside is not derech hatmana, that's derech bishul, or that's derech preservation, or just to guard it, it should not get dirty. That is mutar lechatzil. So there's no prohibition whatsoever when Shabbos begins to cover an open pot that has been left open, even if the pot is all the way filled to the very, very top. You have a pot of boiling hot soup that's on the counter, someone took off the cover because they wanted to go put in some spice, some salt, you went to bench licht, you come back, the pot's on the counter, it's all the way to the very, very top, and you want to cover it. Lechatzilah, you're allowed to cover the pot. That's not called hatmana. Likewise, lechatzilah, you're allowed to put kishka in aluminum foil and bury it inside a cholent, even though technically you would suggest that's called hatmana because it's a live fire together with Erev Shabbos, together with an item which is completely contained. It's derech bishul, that's not derech hatmana. You want the kishka to get cooked in the cholent to absorb the flavor, that's derech bishul, that's mutar lechatzchila. Now where is there a very... What? It's mutar to wrap kishka in aluminum foil and to erev Shabbos. Erev Shabbos, of course. Only erev Shabbos. On Shabbos, a shayla bishul. A shayla, well, truly, it's eid b'chach bishul at top of the pot. Putting it inside also is not necessarily awesome because the davar hagush, we don't do it. We don't do it lechatchila, especially if it's over the flame of the pot. If the chold is not on the blech and it's not directly over the flame, then I think there's a heter. You can put it on Shabbos because kish already has been cooked. It's davar gush, so you're not really doing anything either. The minig is not to stir. That's only when it's directly over the fire. But if it's not directly over the fire, then there's a heter. But let's discuss the situation where you're putting it before Shabbos. It's the shail of hat. It's not hatmana because it's derech bishul. Now, where is there the big shayla? The big shayla is a crock pot. There have been poiskim. This already goes back right to Rav Moshe. And there's a very good write up about this shayla in Rabbi Riviat. Rabbi Riviat in the 39, the four volumes, said the 49 Malachas, about a crock pot, l'chora is a shayla of hatmana. Because a crock pot, most crock pots, there are really two pots. You have your pot, your main pot, and your main pot is basically submerged in, tightly fitted into another kli, which heats it up. So, is that a problem of hatmana?
It's huge, but first of all, it's not covered.
So, number one, Rav Moshe off the bat says there's no hatmana because all the crackpots that he was shown in his day, going back into the 80s, never cover the very top. There's always part of the that sticks out. And I think that's still true today. I don't think there's such a crackpot today where you completely put it in inside and you cover it. The problem why it is hatman is because by nature a crackpot it's tightly fitted. Anything which is tightly fitted is automatically a question of hatman. So Moshe says most Rishonim are of the opinion hatman is only when it's 100% covered. It's true, there are a miut, there are a few Rishonim which hold that hatman is even roif, not a miut. We don't pass like those Rishonim, we're not Chayish. The Mela, since all the crackpots that exist today do not come to the very, very top, there's no issue of Hatmana that Danish. What about a Blech? That's another issue. Do we consider the fact that the pot, the food in the crock pot, is not fully cooked when Shabbos begins? It's not a half cooked, it's not a third cooked, or even if it is a half a third, it's mitstamik viyofe. And when it's stamik viyofe, lechatili, you need a blech. So this is now being cooked upon the source of heat. So the source of heat should be the equivalent of an open flame. Do you need a blech? So there are different opinions for that as well. Some say you do need a blech, and what you should do is you should align it with some type of aluminum foil, and that will serve as the blech. Some say that it all depends on the certain type of crackpots, that you don't always have to push all the way inside for it to do its job. If you take a tuna fish can or some type of
pebble,
so you can have
air in the bottom.
Air in the bottom, so wait, that serves the hatmana problem. I'm getting a little confused. That's not the blech problem. That's
be like kli al gabi kli.
A kli.
You need aluminum anyway, right? Over the burner.
I'm confused. What is the purpose? Would be hatmana. Should be completely the putting in a tuna fish can would serve a hatmana. There is another solution. Riviat says, I never saw anyone do that. Not that I've been around all that much. Is he says that l'chol hadeyas, there are those that are machmet and the shalav hatmana, even though it's roif. So he says the solution is to line it with aluminum foil, and the aluminum foil should come out. I don't really know the lumness. This is what he says. This is like should comes out on top. And serves like a lip.
Overlap.
So once
the pot. So that's
what? No, so that somehow prevents the heat. It breaks up the tightly fitted. From the perspective, point of view of halacha, it's no longer can call tightly fitted. If you have aluminum foil that lines the outer kli, and the aluminum foil comes up and expands out.
It transmits the heat, radiates the heat away.
Away. Right. And then you take your pot and you put it inside, even though 80% is tightly fit into the outer part, but because of this lip, that takes away the shail of hatman al l'chol hades.
My wife, who's a bucky on everything,
yeah,
throws in an aluminum foil ball on the bottom.
Right, so that makes
you have another
space. Yeah,
they sell these plastic bags to keep the crock pot clean.
Right. So does that plastic have the same status as hatmana l'chariya? Why not?
It's the more than hatmana. It's zikha hatmana because you put your whole child in a plastic bag.
But you leave it open.
You seal it.
You don't seal it. You leave it open on top.
And then you put it in.
No, you wrap it out. I've seen when they have the plastic bags, and so it's like aluminum foil. It's wrapped on the outside. It's like a blech almost. It's not aluminum foil.
Inside the pot.
Yeah.
That's what it costs
in the pot.
It's in the pot. Not okay. Okay, the pot is at the moment. Okay. But it comes on the outside. It sticks out. So maybe that plastic can also serve as a break. I don't know. Okay. So this is the modern day issue. So basically, the rule is anything you're not allowed. Yeah. Why is that one? This is not tightly wrapped. That's an oven. That's derech bishul. That's an oven. It's derech bishul. That's derech bishul. The hatmana has to be something additional to the bishul. It's derech bishul. The ovens, crock pots. You could also make the argument that it's derech bishul as well. But I don't know. Some want to say that it's a new type of oven they never had before. Anything that's new, never had before, already. We want to go say that it should be derech bishul. It's tightly fit. An oven is not tightly fit. The food is in the oven and it's just producing heat. Okay, let's take a look over here. Yeah.
These hot pots that they sell.
Yeah.
There's supposed to be some kind of switch there for Shabbos, but where is the insulation? It's double. It's like a thermos inside. It's glass.
I'm not sure. I don't know.
The heat is very. I mean, when it comes out, it's boiling hot.
It's underneath the
crock pots.
No, the hot pots.
Athlete.
It's underneath the...
I'm not familiar with it. I don't know.
You press in the water.
With the pump. You know,
with the pump.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's like an air effect.
Yeah, and you.
But is there insulation in there that would be like a cloth?
It's producing heat the whole time.
Right.
So it's cooking. It's not out. The electric, the pumps.
I don't know about the pumps. I don't know.
They're urns.
An urn. All those pumps. That's a regular urn. It's just a mechanism. It's a.
But it's much hotter than the old pots. You know. With
the old urns. It depends if it's new old.
I'm talking the cheap ones.
You have one over here. You have over here the pumps. Those are. That's a regular urn. It's a regular standard urn. It's no different than a regular urn.
It's not a seal. No, it's not a sealed insulation.
It's not that much.
That's a kli rishon. That is derech bishul.
Oil button, right? You can boil it up.
Rabbi, can I ask you one thing?
Are you going to tell us?
No.
Shuts it off. Hot water from an urn. You have to put it into a kli sheni first.
Yes.
And pour it into your cup.
Yeah. That'd be a kli shlishi. If you put the coffee into a kli, and then you open up the spigot, and it goes in. That's called irui kli rishon. Something that's being poured from a kli rishon when it makes impact, when it makes contact with the kli sheni, is called a kli rishon.
And that's good.
That's no good.
No, that's no good. That's what I'm saying. So you need a. You've got to put water into something.
And from that, you pour into something else. Correct.
Or you pour it right.
Either or.
You pour the water first, and then the coffee is okay, and then you put the coffee in.
There are two opinions. Some hold. It doesn't matter. It's all. That's okay.
It absorbs the initial heat.
It's basically just coloring.
Alright, let's look at that. What is the proper way to make coffee? Okay, so I learned years ago, I've seen people do different. I learned years ago that there's a shaila of tzeveya. This is what I've been taught. There's a problem of tzeveya, and therefore, you're supposed to have a kli shlishi, which means you have the urn. I first pour water from the urn into a kli. Now, the water I have in this kli is a kli sheni. Now many people hold there's no problem. It's a kli sheni. You can take coffee. You can put coffee into and you can stir it. Some hold that taking coffee and putting coffee into the kli sheni, it's true. There's no longer a shaila of bishul, but there's a shaila of tzeveya. You're coloring the water. You're coloring the water from clear to dark. So to avoid that problem, you take your coffee, your instant coffee, and you put it into an empty cup, an empty utensil, and you then pour from the kli sheni into the kli shlishi. Because the instant it enters the kli, it's already black.
It involves two cups.
It's not. The coffee is there for the water.
The third cup is a third cup.
The third kli, correct, which has the instant. The kli which has the instant inside is a kli shlishi. And then you pour from the kli sheni into the kli shlishi. Tea is more problematic. The Mishnah Berurah says tea is called mikale habishul. Kale habishul. There's a question that there's bishul even a kli sheni. So the instant
tea is all cooked beforehand anyway.
Not necessarily. I don't know. Not that.
Yeah, when you go to tea beds, what do you think? They've never been baked.
The tea have to, and some say sugar also is kali habishul. There's a question. So therefore, some want to use a kli shlishi for coffee. Belina, we will get to that at length later on. Okay, so let's just read this halacha. Okay, this is the basic rules of hatmana. So the basic rules of hatmana you have to be aware is only when it's something additional. It has to be the kli rishon, and it has to be tightly fitted. If you don't have these three conditions, there's no issue of, and there's a difference between davar hamoisef hevel, davar she'ena moisef hevel. Davar she'ena moisef hevel is mutter lechatchila erev Shabbos. Davar hamoisef hevel is also all the time. But davar she'ena moisef hevel is also on Shabbos. So if a pot, if the range goes out, and the pot, you take the pot off, you want to wrap a pot in a blanket on Shabbos, tightly fitted blanket around the pot, that is osur afilu on Shabbos. Even though it's davar she'eino moisef hevel, it's osur. The best you could do, it should be loosely fitted, or it should not cover the entire thing. And if it's if it's in the pot itself, to cover the pot, that's of course mutter, because that's derech bishul. Has to be something secondary. So here he describes the situation in his time where people would put pots in the ground. Hamatmin the coffee the erev Shabbos besoch agumot tzar l'tzoch Shabbos u'mechasil bekodim, and you cover with pillows u'chodaymer sheicham im hu matminu besoch choil. If you are burying your pot in sand, it's osur. Lahatmin kol hakli besoch achol, because chol sand is dover hamoisef hevel. That would be equivalent today to having an urn that's plugged in that's producing heat and tightly wrapping it with cloth. V'afilu enay matmin kol hakli elu miktsaso v'al miktsaso mechaser bebegodim mechodome be'ofen shakol hakli mechusim mikol hatzadim gam ze'osar. If part of the kli is covered in sand and the other part is covered in cloth, that's also, in his opinion, osar. El tzach lasas b'ofen ze shakli asher besochol hakofi yatminu rak ad chetzyoi or ad shalishiso, either a half or a third besoch hachol, and it's only submerged a half or a third. The hamoisar yehei ba'avir, and the remaining shall be completely exposed. The itan alaguma daf, now you want the most you can possibly do now is put on the very top a board. You put a board so the board is not tightly fitted, and that somehow will contain the heat to a certain degree. The itan alaguma, this which is buried in the ground, you can just cover the entire enclosure, the entire thing above the ground. Daf yichape alav kli, another utensil shehei avir beino ubein a kli shebesech hakofi, and there will be airspace between the kli and the pot of coffee. And then after you went and you have airspace, it's not tight, then there's no prohibition covering on top of this many pillows. The oz yoch litin aleihem begodim bekodim chodoyme. Yes, adini hatmona b'shulchanoch simin reishon zayin reishon ches reishon tes. Other halachos we discussed the basic practical applications of bezvan hazeh. The only real shal bezvan hazeh, but that's very common, is the crack pot issue. Okay, so let's do one more halacha. Let's do another halacha. The chavei somel chashecha yishal the anshei beis beloshen racha in a soft way. Hefrashtem challah, will you mafresh challah for bread? V'yoyim alohem halikvas haner, and you shall instruct them to light the ner. Let's see who says in Lamites. Hefrashtem challah ayin leel beim shachal hafresh challah ukvar choshcho kosav sham takon lze. You can be mafresh challah on Shabbos b'diavad. You leave over something that will serve as challah. Over here it says in the kitchen, it says yishal, you shall ask. In the Gemara it says, don't say yishal. You should say yishal. It's much more demanding. Okay, but let's see. Let's go further. The Einberg and the Weinberg and Avram. The Ben Hashmoshos also the Hafreshchala. Ben Hashmoshos also the Yochol. We had a whole stimulus on Hafreshchala. The Yochol Lechol the Shai Ma'at Liachach. You have the Eitza. The solution is if you get the Hafreshchala, you can eat and you can leave all part of the challah. We'll have Hafreshchala. Even Ben Hashmoshos, it's not a proper thing to do. Liachach Shabbos Yafresh Menai Meshuyah King Kosta B'Mishnebura. Period. The ayin b'nesiv chaim sham b'hagilyon shlochanoch the im ein loy lechem love and rak zem mutul hafish. If this is all you have, mutul hafish. The chen kosaf, he disagrees.
He has whole wheat. He doesn't have.
So he disagrees. A difference of opinion. Some hold that b'nashmoshos you're allowed to. This is what you're going to eat. You're allowed to. The chen kosaf, I'm not sure what that means. The im hu b'nashmoshos shel erev Shabbos shechal be'erev Pesach. Okay, there's many simonim in Shulchan Aruch about this. A disaster when a person has forgot to be mafresh challah, erev Pesach. Shechalios b'Shabbos, and the problem is going to turn into chametz. It's not been baked. You have the dough. So what do you do with it? Vim hu ben hashmoshos shel erev Shabbos shechalios be'erev Pesach. Vim hu ben hashmoshos shel erev Shabbos shechal erev Pesach b'Shabbos mutu lo l'harfish ben hashmoshos min bein. Bein min halachem, bein min hamatzah. That is different because there you're dealing with a shail of chametz. Okay, that you throw it in the garbage. You throw it in the garbage. What? Yeah, bizman hazeh. That's what they do. Bizman hazeh. I've heard that they don't burn anymore. A lot of people are not burning. They're throwing it in the garbage because it's not really burnt. There's a business. Someone told me in Lakewood there's a business. They come, they pick up, they come collect it. $2. Good business. And they come, they collect your challah. They come, they collect your challah, and they burn it. I've heard that most people in Lakewood, basically everyone makes challah. A lot of people live with challah in Lakewood. They throw it in the garbage. They don't burn it. We used to burn it. In the bakeries, they burn it because they have commercial ovens. They have commercial ovens. You can't burn it in your house. It's not going to burn. If you take the challah, a person makes big challahs, and you mafresh challah. So what do? You're going to wrap it in aluminum foil, and you're going to put it in the oven. It's not going to burn. So the solution is you put it in a toaster oven. They put in a toaster oven and they burn it. So the whole house smells. And people who know claim it doesn't get burned in the toaster oven either. Okay, it doesn't get burnt either. So what's this all about? We just playing with fire? It's dangerous. It's not worth it.
So they give it to the zoo.
They what? Give it to the zoo, to the animals. Yeah.
Because what they do is they sell all the animals that go up to a kayan.
Yeah.
So all the trumas and vices and this then.
Okay, interesting.
Give it to the animal of a kayan.
But I've heard it's very common today. It's accepted by B'nai Torah. They throw in the garbage. That there's nothing you can really do about it. Unless you want to pay $2.
What did you say? Lakewood is garbage and it's holy?
All right, let us stop here.